I've got a question for you tonight. How many of us have had people misunderstand us? Misunderstand our good intentions? Okay, here's another one. How many of us have misjudged our parents growing up? Thought they were unfair. Didn't know what they were doing. Didn't know what they were talking about. Only to find out later that we had misjudged their character. Now, there's no such thing as perfect parents, so all of us have had parents that made mistakes. We've made mistakes. But there are many times when we're growing up in our adolescence when we misjudge the character of our parents or those in authority sometimes, you know, over us. And you know, to a parent who is loving on their child and really wanting the best for that child, it grieves them that you would misjudge them or feel that they were deliberately being unfair to you. How many have you here have had children, right? And we've been grieved when our children have misunderstood us or they didn't listen to us. Or they misjudged our motives or our character even. See, we get to understand the heart of God often through the things that we experience. And no other way can we really understand the heart of God except often through our own relationships here on the earth. How God has instituted the family. Amen? Marriage between a man and a woman so there would be offspring. And these children and the relationship with their parents, you know. Fathers are supposed to be the priests of the home and to mentor the children and raise them up in the ways of the Lord. Mothers too, together in partnership in the relationship. And so the child will then, from the father's example, see an example of their heavenly father who's invisible. And many of us have, in some place along the path there, have had abusive situations when it came to authority. I'm not necessarily even talking about moms and dads. I'm talking about just in general people that have been in authority over us. We've had bad encounters with. Maybe there's been abuse. There's been things that have happened, you know, where you were put down or ridiculed. And so what happens is we begin to form an opinion of God based upon the earthly examples that we see. That's why it's so important that we model to our children, and not only to our children, but to those who are younger than us, as well as older. But it works both ways. Christ, what it's like. This is what God is like by our example. And obviously we're not God, so we're going to make mistakes. But when we do, that's when we say, you know, mom or dad was wrong here. You know, we shouldn't have done that. We were out of character. That's not the way, that's not the new nature in Christ. You know, that's the old man that was sticking up his ugly head. And I know you didn't like that part of me, did you? Neither do I. Why am I saying this? Is because what God really wants the most from his children is that we would really trust him. And so we talk about trust, but we you know, let's just take another look at it tonight. Let's take another look in the mirror at what that really means to trust. When you say, for example, you know someone. Now, you can know who someone is. Oh, do you know so-and-so? You say, yeah, I know so-and-so. Well, I mean, do you know so-and-so, or do you know who they are? Often we talk about someone and we'll say, do you know so-and-so? What we really need to say is, I know who they are. Because we'll say, yeah, I know so-and-so. Or sometimes we say, I'm with the band, or I'm with, you know, so-and-so, and does so-and-so know you, is the question too, you know. I mean, do you really know them, or you just know about them? We can know people on various levels. You know, we have acquaintances, we have friendships, and we have family. These are different types of relationships, right? And any relationship that is good is a relationship built on trust. There has to be trust. Now, trust is not something that is just automatic. something, trust has to be built. Trust usually takes a period of time before we can learn to trust someone. Now, if we're naive, you know, we can just be gullible and believe everything that car salesman is, you know, he was a really nice guy and he said he wanted to get me a really good deal. And so I trusted him that he was going to give me a good deal. But you see, you don't really know this person. You may know him on the surface, but it takes a while to get to know someone to the degree where you can really trust them. That's why it's important in relationships that we take time. Amen? Especially if you're going to open up the door of your heart. Amen? And share certain things with someone that maybe you think is a confidant, but there's many who run around and they open up the door of their heart to everybody, and they're just looking for this person to tell them, you know, they're giving their garbage to this person and that, and their baggage to this person, and everybody now knows your mess. But can you really trust that person with what you're sharing? And is it appropriate for you to even share that with that person? You see, we have to learn, you know, who someone is through experience. That's one of the ways that we learn how to trust is through our experiences. You know, well, I did that and it didn't work, so I'm not doing that again. I can't trust that experience. And again, the most important thing is through our relationships with one another that we learn to trust. Now, every one of us in here in Christ should be trustworthy. Amen? If somebody comes to us with a confidence, we should be able to hold that confidence. And not be a busybody, not be a gossip, but to hold the confidence. Not get on Facebook or on the internet or whatever and talk about it. But we need to be careful about what we indulge, what we share. When we get hurt, it's easy, you know. Sometimes to just start flapping at the gums, because when you're hurting, sometimes it helps to get the pressure off by talking about it. But even in that, you need to know what is appropriate to share. You can always pour your heart out to God, and He's always going to listen. And guess what? He's going to protect you. It's safe when you talk to God. Amen? So we have to be careful even what we confess to people. But God knows our hearts. And there's not anything that we do that's going to shock Him, by the way. How many know God has seen it all? He's heard it all. He's not going to be shocked by your life. He wants to fix us. He wants to heal us. He wants to restore us. People who know God are people who trust Him. Do we know God? That's the question. You know, we say, I know so-and-so. Do you know about him? But do you know him to the degree that you have developed a relationship of trust, so where now I'm willing to bear all to God? All right? Because whether we know it or not or realize it or not, He knows it anyways. And in order for us to be healed, we have to bear our hearts to God. We have to be honest. You know that in recovery, the number one thing is acknowledging, right, that you got a problem. Right? No more denial, but yes, I have a problem. I need help. God wants to help us, but we've got to be willing to be open and honest and trust Him with our hearts. When your heart has been hurt, it becomes more difficult to trust. To the degree where if we're not careful, we will trust absolutely nobody in this world. And folks, I don't think that's healthy. I think that you need relationships. You do need somebody at some time in your life that you can talk to. Amen? That you can trust. But trust is something that has to be earned. I believe you have to develop that relationship to where you know that this person, I've got people, you know, not very many, but there's people I can call. And if I need to talk to somebody, I know it would be safe for me to talk to this person. Do you have somebody like that? It's important that you do. Yeah. Amen? And So trust doesn't happen overnight, but it develops over time. Now, knowing God is knowing that, you know, really how he feels about the situations that we face. Knowing God is knowing what are the right choices to make that will please him. When you know your wife, you know your husband, you know certain things that would trigger them and send them off, you know, in the wrong direction. But you know the other things as you learn, as you develop in your relationship. I know my wife loves flowers, or my wife likes this, or she likes it when I talk to her this way. But boy, you don't want to talk to her that way. The love language, huh? But knowing a person, right, means that you know what pleases them. Is that true? Knowing God means that we're coming to a place where we know what really pleases the Lord. Is it possible to please God? How do we please God? Yeah, which is synonymous with trust, isn't it? If we trust, we will obey. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Right, so it comes back to trust, doesn't it? This is what pleases the Father, that we believe what he says. We believe his word. So that's why it's so vitally important that we know God on a personal level. Now, how many are familiar with Proverbs 3, 5 through 7? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. All your heart. All is a big word. Do we trust him with all of our heart? Folks, there's times when I don't trust God with all my heart. That's right. You thought I was that spiritual, right? You know, you knew better. But there's times when we have reservation. We're growing in this thing. We're learning to trust. And the best way to learn how to trust is count it all joy, brethren, when you endure difficulties and trials. Because these are tests. Do we really trust the Lord? We can all say it with our mouth, but in the situation, whether we really trust him or not, it's going to become evident, isn't it? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. He shall direct your path. It's a promise. It says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Now, there are those, as you know, that don't really feel that they necessarily need the knowledge and wisdom of God. And people in the world, they think it's foolishness, you know, to read the Bible and go to church or whatever. You know, they don't feel that they have a need for the knowledge and wisdom of God. Obviously, you're here tonight, amen, because we all realize that we need Jesus, we need each other, we need to be instructed, right? I need to hear from you as well. I need to be instructed, you know, and then the things that you receive, you can share with somebody else. It's just a chain reaction. And so we need to stay on track. People don't feel that they need the knowledge and wisdom of God. And then they give up on God, okay, when they can't overcome a situation in their own strength. They get mad at God, okay, because they tried to do something in their own strength without acknowledging him. Usually when we don't acknowledge him, we make wrong choices. Wrong choices have consequences. And then God gets blamed for our wrong choice. And the more that we know God, the more that we will actually obey him. Because trust and obedience, they work together, don't they? So if we're really trusting him, then we're going to do what he says. But we don't do what he says because sometimes we're not trusting him. Well, yeah, I know God told me that I need to do this, but what if he doesn't come through? How many know that God would never tell you to do something that he's not going to come through on? Never, ever will he tell you to do anything that he's not going to come through. But see, this is the unbelief problem. This is what we struggle with. And And again, it always goes back to the relationship that we develop with Jesus. And often through the difficulties of life, where we learn to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Andre Crouch. Through it all. I've learned to depend upon His Word. Some folks won't trust, you know, or seek God's wisdom or His knowledge until all else has failed. Some Christians do that, huh? We wait till everything bottoms out. We've exhausted all of our resources, done everything in our own wisdom, our own strength, and then when all else fails, well, maybe I better get back to God. Now, we know the world is going to look at money, physical strength, or beauty, or education, or personal accomplishments as that which satisfies. Now, there's nothing wrong with these things. Are you with me? There's nothing wrong with physical beauty or strength or education or money or accomplishments. But that's not what satisfies us, and that's not what's important. Because they amount to nothing apart from a relationship with Jesus. And our achievements are not to be the focus of our boasting. The Lord is. Amen? Yes. Our achievements are not to be the focus of our boasting, but the Lord is. And so if we have success, if we achieve something, that's a wonderful thing. And you know, Papa God thinks it's good to, he gives you a slap on the back and says, you did a good job. Does not a good father do that? Amen? He praises their children when they do well. But a good child will realize that, you know what? How many have ever heard the statement, you taught me everything I knew? Well, that's not true exclusively to our parents, but our parents have taught us a lot. Whether it was good or bad, but they taught us a lot. And so, some of the things that they taught you, amen, was good for you. And they taught you some principles along the way that were going to help you. And because you had, in the times when you did listen to mom and dad, you know, or the times when you had accomplishments usually, or you achieved something because you had listened. I remember when I was a boy, I told my dad, Dad, I want a 10-speed for Christmas. He says, all right. He gave me a whole list of chores. He taught me the principle, you know, of reaping and sowing in the sense that I need to get out. And he taught me how to work so that I would appreciate something that I had earned. All right? Not everything was just handed out. So I began to appreciate things and the value of things, especially if it was from the sweat of your brow that you earned it. It means more to you. It's more valuable then. So there are achievements that sometimes, you know, for example, in that case, I paid for the bike. But there was other times when my dad would kick in a certain amount, you know, and then I would do something and together we would purchase that. It was a cooperative effort. You see, and God Himself wants us to trust Him and to come into cooperation with Him and work together with Him so that we can achieve things for eternity. Amen? Not just for temporary things. That's an illustration in the natural. But there are so many things that we see in our relationships and our relationships that we develop where there's trust and there's obedience, where there are blessings, there are benefits to that if it's a good relationship. How many know that God never fails? We know that, right? At least in theory. Maybe not in theory even. Maybe you really do, but I really do believe that God never fails. But sometimes I struggle with my unbelief. Do you? Yeah. See, the man had to realize, you know, his own unbelief, where he said, Lord, help my unbelief, before he was going to get some help with it. So there's times when we have to just say, be honest, totally honest about your life with God, and acknowledge your deficiencies. Acknowledge that there's areas where you need improvement. Amen? And that there's areas where we still need to learn and grow. Otherwise, if we think that we've arrived, we'll never achieve or never reach the place where we were destined to be. And there are some Christians, because of afraid of being judged, that they always present an image that they've got it all together. They've always got it all together. Now, God knows the truth of the matter. And it's not my place to judge people necessarily, all right, in that sense. But we, as an individual, I speak of myself, I can't live in that place of I've got it all together. There are areas that I need improvement in my life. And God will take me, and he will change me, and he will mold me, he will make me, and he will form me and make me beautiful for him, if I'm simply in a place where I'm willing to realize and acknowledge that I'm poor in spirit. I don't have it all together. That I have to acknowledge God in all of my ways. And so in Jeremiah, the Lord spoke to Jeremiah, chapter 9, and verse 23, he said, thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, says the Lord. And the New Living Translation says it this way. This is what the Lord says. Do not let the wise boast in their wisdom, or the powerful boast in their power, or the rich boast in their riches. But those who wish to boast should boast in this alone, that they truly know me, and understand that I am the Lord, who demonstrates unfailing love, who brings justice and righteousness to the earth, and that I delight in these things. I, the Lord, have spoken. If the Lord says, I, the Lord, have spoken, it's time to listen up. Amen? Amen. The most important thing is that we know him. Knowing him means that we trust him. Trust is developed through relationship and through experiences. Amen? And through the difficulties of your life, they're not bad for you. They're actually good for you. Oh, I know that's hard to grasp, because sometimes we say, that was a bad thing that happened to me. No, I'm not saying it wasn't a bad thing that happened to you. I'm saying that God will work it around for your good. So ultimately, even the bad things are good for you. Isn't that good news? That even the bad things in my life are going to be good for me. That's a word for somebody. The more we get to know the Lord, the more we learn to trust him. So trusting God does not mean the absence of problems in our lives. Because often, you know, trust is developed through troubles in our lives. Now, remember Paul, he's a good example of that. The only way Apostle Paul could have endured the horrific things that he had to go through was because he knew the Lord on a personal level. Yeah. See, it's not enough to practice religion, is it? It's not enough to go and do church things and talk about God and learn about God. It's what's important is that we come to know God. Because there's people that go to church, you know, all their life and never know God. They've totally missed the boat. What was the purpose in all of that? God wants a relationship with us. And so Paul here, you know, he said in 2 Timothy 1:11, he said, God chose me to be a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of this good news. That is why I'm suffering here in prison. But I am not ashamed of it, for I know the one in whom I trust. And I am sure that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until the day of his return. The King James says, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. The day what? Day of the Lord's return. he's talking about? He's talking about his life, his whole life, his whole ministry, everything he put in God's hands. He trusted God fully. No matter what was happening to him, he said, you know, God chose me, first of all. And that's why I'm even suffering. He said, in other words, I did all the right things I was supposed to do, and guess what's happening? I'm in jail because I did all the right things I was supposed to do. John the Baptist did all the right things he was supposed to do, and he went to jail too. And he lost his head. But what's going on there? There has to be something below the surface. Man, there has to be a relationship with Jesus that would be able to sustain you through these types of difficulties that they went through. And believe me, and you know as well as I, those prisoners in those prisons had it a lot worse than they do in our system. You see, even his personal discomfort and his personal safety was not an issue to Paul. You see, he had that kind of relationship. He trusted the Lord to the degree that no matter what happened to him, he knew. And he had trust. He had faith in God. I know, he said, whom I believe in. Amen? Now, I want to look at another example here. If we don't trust, learn to trust the Lord in the minor trials, how are we going to trust him in the major trials of life? Most of us are familiar with this. This is in Jeremiah 12 and verse 5. Jeremiah 12 verse 5, this is New Living Translation. If racing against mere men makes you tired, how will you race against horses? If you stumble and fall on the ground, what will you do in the thickets near the Jordan? The Lord, Jeremiah is asking the Lord here, he said, why are the wicked prospering? And why am I going through this misery? Why do good people suffer? You ever ask that question? How many realize, folks, it's in our best personal interests as well? Amen? Obviously, it's God's interests that America turns back to him. But it's not an us and them thing. It's an us thing as a nation. When Jeremiah prayed, he prayed as an us. Amen? As a we. And not those people over there, them heathen over there, them abortionists over there, those, you know, drug addicts or pimps over there. He was saying, Lord, we have sinned. Why did he say? Because he realized that we're all in this thing together, in the sense that if our nation doesn't turn back, folks sitting in the foxhole hoping that the storm will blow over is not going to cut it. We've got to be active, amen, actively praying, actively doing what we can according to the wisdom that God gives us, the knowledge he gives us, to turn this thing around. Amen? We cannot be passive and hope the giant's just going to go away. Why? Because if we are passive, we will be overrun. Yes. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Folks, you and I have been given the keys of the kingdom. We have been given the authority in Jesus' name. Amen? We've been empowered by God to make a difference. Not to sit back and hunker down and hope it'll blow over and go away. Or just sit in despair and point at the news and say, oh, how terrible. Come on, I get caught up sometimes in that thing. Because it is terrible. And it grieves God's heart. But God is saying to his church, what are you going to do about it? Because the people of the world are going to do what the people of the world do. Just like when you were in the world, we did what was popular in the world to do. You know? And so it comes back to us, the church, to humble ourselves and pray and seek his face and turn from our wicked ways. What are we going to do about it? Why is that important? Because who has been given the authority? We have. Because in the very beginning, that's how God established it, and he hasn't changed it. That's why Jesus became a man, to restore that. What the enemy had stolen, Jesus is restoring. And he's given back to you and I the keys. They go in his name. How many know that's not just for Peter, that's for you and I in Christ. Amen? That's the church of Jesus Christ. Based upon what? That proclamation that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That is the truth. That is the gospel, and it's the power of God unto salvation. And so in Jeremiah's day, they were suffering. The good people were suffering because of choices that people make, you know, and made. The same thing is true today. You know what? It's starting to affect us all now, isn't it? The things that we kind of like, you know, turned a blind eye to, the things that we just let happen while we were sleeping in the light. You know, while we were sleeping, the enemy's been sowing a lot of seed, and all of a sudden now we're looking at some ugly fruit. That where did that come from, and how did it happen so quickly? And now it's starting to affect our way of life and everything. And the same thing was true in Jeremiah's day. What he's saying is, he said, listen, these are the minor trials. The major trials are coming. If you don't learn how to trust me now and know that I'm going to be with you, Jeremiah, how do you think you're going to handle the flooding of the Jordan, you know, or the more difficult things that are going to come? He's just saying that, folks, we need to learn and develop that trust in God through the minor things that we experience, and sometimes even the major things that we're experiencing. Because through every trial, though, and every difficulty, God promotes you and advances you to a greater level of faith. A greater level of authority will be granted based upon your faith, and faith is developed as faith is trust, is it not? And so as we're developed through the difficulties and we learn of his faithfulness, then the things that used to shake us no longer shake us. They're like, that's nothing. I remember how I used to get crushed over minor things, you know. Somebody didn't like me. Somebody said something nasty about me, you know. So I was devastated. But you see, overcoming those things and learning how to draw from God's grace and learning how to turn that and forgive and to bless instead of curse. And you know what? It's amazing that how the things that used to shake me no longer even bother me. What's happening? It's called maturity. We're growing up. When you're a child, I was watching a little special the other day about this lady that and this family. They were raising three triplet boys. It was in Korea, and they're all, it's like when one cries, they're all crying. When they all got the sniffles, they all got the sniffles, you know. And they're all running, and they're three boys, so they're running in three different directions, you know. But the minor things that happen, you know, I didn't get the toy, you know. He took my red ball. Devastating, you know. The face is red. They're, you know, the world is coming to an end. Are you with me, right? And of course, it's immaturity, you know. And as they grow up, they begin to realize, you can have the ball, I don't care. But that's what it's like. And God is developing us through these things that you're encountering and making you stronger. And you're not where you were even a year ago. I'm not. And others will notice it more than we will, because we live in our own shell, in our own body. And for us, the experience is just kind of like it's just life going on. Some things, yeah, we recognize. Yeah, boy, I've changed. I know this thing. But others will observe the fruit in your life more than you will. Have you noticed change? Have you noticed growth in one another? You know, we've been coming and we're getting together. We notice that there's change taking place. What are we doing? We're developing in a relationship of trust with the Lord. And as we grow in faith, then we can be entrusted with a greater level of authority. The things that God started me out with were elementary. They were elementary. And the same thing is true with all of us. And then little by little, God begins to develop us. We grow in faith. We go through some more trials. We overcome. We become stronger. We become more assured of His faithfulness. Every time He brings us through another thing, we can look back and say, wow, we've come this far by faith, trusting in the Lord. Amen? Like the old song says, He's never failed me yet. So it's all good. And we learn that He is going to be faithful. And so what He needs is a people who are steady, that are grounded, amen, in Him, so that when the difficulties of life assail others, they're going to be looking for someone who's able to stand up, even though everybody around them may be collapsing. Are you with me? 1,000 may fall to your right? 10,000 to your... How's it go? Your right hand, right side, or yeah. Right hand, that's it. So, what the Lord wants is stability in our lives. We're developing a relationship of trust. That's the message tonight. And so, God has not forsaken you. Jeremiah didn't understand God why. But Jeremiah, in a sense, did know, because he's in the same boat with the rest of the folks who are not living right and bringing the judgments on the nation of Israel. Amen? And so, but the Lord, in every case, had a promise up ahead. He never just left them down. He always had a promise for them. That even though you may have to endure some things and go through some stuff, and it may not even be your fault, because good people suffer because of things evil people do. It's by choice, you see, free will. But God always has a promise that through those things, He's going to make you better. He's going to make you beautiful. And the day when we see Jesus, He's going to say, "That's my bride. Isn't she beautiful?" The more we grow in our understanding of the nature and character of God, the more our faith will develop in Him.